Hello.
Is, I don't know, what do I call you?
Perez, my friend, amigo.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and today, a portrait of Perez Hilton. Mario Armando Lavandeira Jr., a.k.a. Perez Hilton, is perhaps the most well-known celebrity and gossip writer of our time. In the mid-aughts, he became famous, well, some people might say infamous, actually, because of his blog, PerezHilton.com, where he wrote about the latest exploits and scandals of Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, and the like. His signature style also included giving celebrities nicknames that they probably didn't like a lot. Here's a clip of him naming some of these on the Jimmy Kimmel Show in 2007.
Jessica Simpson, you call?
Jugs.
Jugs. Britney Spears is?
She's a hot mess.
Hot mess.
And I call her a lot of other things.
Kirsten Dunst.
Kiki Drunkst.
Perez Hilton was also known for the drawings of genitalia that he would put over the pictures of celebrities that he posted.
What Perez does, and I'm assuming that's not your real name, is he draws penises on people's faces.
But he became truly loath when he began to out gay celebrities like Neil Patrick Harris and Clay Aiken.
Exactly. Is that true, the rumor that you are gay?
Ask Clay Aiken. I'm sitting on the chair where the Gaken sat. Oh, no.
Still, none of this deterred people from flocking to his website with its signature hot pink color scheme. At its peak, it received 7 million views daily. Now, at a time when we have the first, quote, reality television president, it's illuminating to talk to someone who was instrumental in the rise of reality TV show stars, and who, in fact, was part of establishing a kind of bullying rhetoric that's common now, not just in social media, but also in our politics. So today, Perez Hilton speaks to me about his Latino identity, his regrets, and what comes next for the Cuban American infotainer. Thank you for speaking to us on Latino USA.
Oh, I'm so happy to. I'm a fan of the show. It's truly a really special moment for me to be on this with you and to be able to hopefully inform, enlighten your audience as to who I am.
Enlighten. So, Perez, actually, is that a word that you would apply to yourself and to the work that you've done in the past?
In the past, I used to do things a lot differently than I do now. But yeah, I would use that word enlighten even back then, even though I would say I was definitely deluded. But in my mind, I was saying, well, I'm just shining the light on celebrities behaving badly and those that get it right.
Well, let's go back to the beginning.
Sure.
So you grew up in Miami. Your mom and dad, both of them were born in Cuba. And I think that they left Cuba with, like, seriously, nothing. So tell us a little bit about how you remember your childhood.
In many ways, my childhood was the opposite of what it is now. Like, I would say I was not a very active participant in my formative years because my parents were more than just fine allowing the TV to be my babysitter. So since as early as I could remember, when I was young, that's all I would do is just watch television. And I was like a zombie in front of that screen. My childhood, I would say, was very traditional and normal for Miami. And I would also say that it was not easy for me, not because of anything my parents did, but just society as a whole. You know, I was born gay. I've known I was gay since I could remember. And I grew up in a Latino community. I went to an all-boy Jesuit school from 6th grade through 12th grade. And back in the 90s, people weren't out. And I remember vividly 11th grade, my theology teacher said something to us about homosexuality. She said, you know, studies say that 1 out of every 10 is gay. And I'm like, wow, that's so progressive of her to even acknowledge that. And then immediately afterwards, this teacher said, but you boys are not like other boys. And not only was I struggling with being gay and in the closet, but I also grew up very fat. I would eat my rice and beans and steak, mi picadillo, all of that. And my mom's idea of us being healthy back then was giving me a salad of iceberg lettuce with tomatoes and mayonnaise. That's what she thought was healthy.
I have seen your mom on your different channels and social media.
Hello, everybody.
How are you?
I was entertaining and eating.
And I think probably some people would be like, wait, isn't Perez Hilton the guy who was like, you know, being really gossipy and maybe not being so nice to celebrities? And wait, now he's hanging out with his mom all the time? What?
Well, that's one of the things that's very Latino about me. I'm very close to my mom. In fact, she lives with me. And that's also something that I experienced growing up. You know, when I was young and in Miami, my grandparents, my maternal grandparents lived with us. My parents instilled in me this Cuban work ethic, this Latino need to work very hard. I have this almost obsession with money. Like, I need to make more. I can't lose what I've worked so hard to get. So I'm very smart with my spending and not overspending and saving. And the same principles applied to education. So I always excelled in school. My parents always expected me to get straight A's, and I pretty much always did. I graduated top 10 in my high school. I went to New York University on a full scholarship. I've always been just very intrigued, obsessed, fascinated by celebrity and pop culture. And I think I also attribute that to being Latino. My mom was super chismosa, as they say, knew everything about everyone, not just about celebrities.
Wait. We need to stop, because for people who don't speak Spanish, you just threw out a word and people are going to be like, what did he just say? So chismosa.
Chismosa means gossipy. I mean, I remember my mom subscribing to Hola magazine and all of those other Spanish language celebrity magazines. And then when I was growing up, not only would I watch a ton of television, I also would read every single magazine voraciously. Entertainment Weekly, Vanity Fair, GQ, and a bunch of magazines that don't even exist anymore. So in college, one of the things I loved to do was I would make these collages and I would put them up everywhere. So in my dorm room, I would put up an entire wall of a collage of not just celebrities, but I was in New York at the time, going to New York University. So it would be playbills, ticket stubs of concerts that I went to, just expressing my world in a visual way on a wall. One of my first jobs out of college was working for a gay nonprofit, GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. And my cubicle in this very standard office job, I turned it into this living, breathing installation piece. And eventually I got reprimanded for that.
So tell me about the name. First thing I want you to do is tell me the name that your mom and dad gave you when you were born.
My birth name is Mario Armando Lavandeira Jr. When it came time to create the character of Perez Hilton, it was 2004, and Paris Hilton was the Kim Kardashian of the day. And the story actually was born in Miami. In December of 2004, I had only been blogging a couple of months, and I was back home in Miami for Christmas. I noticed this trend, like all of these bars or clubs that we went to when I was going to bars and clubs in a youngster, they had these reserved signs, and every place was saying, oh, that's reserved for Paris Hilton. So Paris was allegedly going to be at every place that Christmas break. And then I was like, oh, please, I know what's happening. All of these clubs are just saying that Paris is coming to get buzz, to try to get more people to show up. And I'm like, please, Paris Hilton isn't showing up, but maybe Perez Hilton is. And then I just had a light bulb go off. I kind of love that name, Perez Hilton. Like, I am Perez Hilton.
A character is born and internet madness ensues. Coming up on Latino USA, why Perez Hilton regrets his early tactics. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Newsy, the TV news channel with honest, in-depth context on the stories that matter. Newsy is for people who aren't satisfied with getting only the loudest part of the story. Newsy delivers more context, more solutions, and greater understanding of the people and events that shape our world. Learn more at newsy.com/watch. We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Sony Music Latin, presenting Grammy Award-winning artist Ile, a Puerto Rican singer and composer known for her work with Calle 13. Her debut album, Elevitable, garnered her a Best New Artist nomination at the Latin Grammys and subsequently won the award for Best Latin Rock, Urban, or Alternative Album at the 60th Annual Grammy Awards. Her new single and video, titled Odio, is available everywhere now.
Hey, it's Guy Raz here, and on the latest TED Radio Hour, how to talk about death candidly.
Being able to accept that someday I will decompose, there is something comforting to me about that.
You can find the TED Radio Hour wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, we're back. And when we left off, Mario Armando Lavandeira Jr. had just come up with his pen name, Perez Hilton, in 2004. Now, at the time, Perez Hilton had just been fired from his job at Star Magazine. He couldn't afford internet service at home, so he posted up with a laptop at a local coffee shop and started to blog. He promoted his site by posting on Friendster and quickly started generating about 20,000 views a month. From there, he eventually amassed a huge following. But while many readers love Perez Hilton's outlandish and often offensive style, a lot of celebrities did not. As we mentioned earlier, he outed several gay celebrities. Singer Kesha said Perez Hilton single-handedly ruined her relationship by leaking private photos. Will.i.am, in fact, punched Perez in the face after Perez called him a gay slur in 2009. So Perez was becoming a household name, but at what cost? You know, this cartoon character, I mean, in many ways, it's like the worst of what American culture is about. And I'm just wondering, like, what did your Cuban family think about what you were doing and all of the attention you were getting?
Well, I know that my family, even back then, was very proud of me for making something out of nothing, even before there was a social media. I started before there was a YouTube, before there was a Twitter, before there was an Instagram. I started a year before there even was a TMZ. So in many ways, like, I am the Latino dream. Back then, I was deluding myself into saying, well, Perez Hilton is just a character. And if you don't like what I'm saying, don't read it. And it was almost like Jekyll and Hyde, disassociating myself from the work I was doing. But at the end of the day, I was doing it. It was me. I had to take accountability for it.
What was it that made you say, wait a second, I've got to become a different version. I want to become nicer. I want to talk about redemption. What made you make that turn?
In 2010, In New York, there was this gay college student named Tyler Clemente.
Tyler Clemente is believed to have jumped from New York's George Washington Bridge last week.
Who took his own life as a result of bullying by a classmate who had secretly recorded him being intimate with somebody else. And then shortly thereafter that, there was well over a dozen other gay youths that took their life. So around that time, this journalist, Dan Savage, created this campaign called It Gets Better.
There are 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds watching this video. What I'd love you to take away from it really is that it gets better.
Encouraging adults to make videos letting young LGBTQ youth know that it will get better. And the first day he launched that campaign, I made a video.
I would have loved to have had me around when I was a teenager, because I would have either looked at Perez Hilton and found him extremely annoying or thought he was really cool, but loved the fact that Perez Hilton was able to create something from nothing and become successful.
And the response that I got to that really shook me to my core and made me change everything. Because I thought I was doing something positive. You know, I always thought people understood that in my mind, it was just shtick. You know, it was just a character. I'm just, you know, an entertainer. But people didn't realize that, or people didn't care. And all they saw was the hurtful things I was saying. I and people's perception of me hopefully has evolved. Not drastically, I'm not being unrealistic, but you know, maybe somebody like Joan Rivers. Not everybody liked Joan Rivers, but when she died, there weren't people celebrating her death. I own this. If I were to die today, many people would probably celebrate my death.
Oh my God. How? Oh, Dios mío.
It's true.
Whoa. How do you feel saying that?
I know that.
I've never heard in all of the interviews that I've done in my life, I have never heard anyone say that.
Well, that's the truth. It's true. It would happen.
You say now that you've changed how you report on celebrities. You say that you do not out people anymore. You have a no child policy where you will not post pictures of any celebrities' children. You know, but I gotta say, your site, I mean, it's still a lot of Kardashian stuff. So I'm just wondering, do we really, really need more Kardashian news?
Well, what's funny is, I would say in 2017, that whole year, like many Americans, I was unhealthily obsessed with Donald Trump and everything that was happening in our country. Now we're in 2018, almost 2019. And last year, 17, I was like, I'm over the Kardashians, too much Kardashians, Kardashian overload. But now I'm really thankful for them, or Paris Hilton, or Lindsay Lohan, because to me, it's just a great escape from the reality of the world we are living in. And I think we need that.
Do you? Because, you know, there's a lot of people who say, look, this is the last thing we need is escapism right now. Well, like the last thing we need in the United States of America is for people to be watching, you know, super, super rich people talking about things that seem to have no value or impact in people's lives.
Well, the great thing
about— And yet
about,
you're saying, and I'm intrigued, I'm intrigued because you're saying, no, that's important. We need the Kardashians.
What I love about what I do is in between the Kardashians, in between the silliness, I do post things of substance. Like today, there's at least three or four stories on my website about Donald Trump. And I can do that because I'm the boss and I share what I think is important. And to me, I don't even call it an entertainment news site. It's a pop culture site. And politics, social issues, silly cat videos, that's all part of pop culture. And that's not anything new. I've always been political and vocal and fearlessly so.
So I guess just finally, Perez, what is your message now? What is the message of Perez Hilton now?
The message of Perez Hilton is, that's a good question. I would say to entertain and to, or not even that, to infotain. I'm an infotainer. I love to get people smiling, to get people talking about a variety of different things, sharing my life, my family, my kids, my struggles, talking about weight issues, being a human.
Mario Lavandeira, Perez Hilton, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you. Gracias.
Perez Hilton is the writer and the personality behind the celebrity gossip blog, PerezHilton.com. This episode was produced by Antonia Cerejido and Sofia Polisacar and was edited by Marlon Bishop. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Andres Caballero, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Sayer Quevedo, with help from Fernanda Chavarri. Our engineers are Jeannie Montalvo and Stephanie Lebeau. This week, we had help from Drew Jostert at the Marketplace Studios in Los Angeles. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholtz. Our fellows are Virginia Lora and Jesse Alejandro Cottrell. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. And if you like the music that you heard on this episode, be sure to stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next time. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media, and I'll see you there. Hasta la próxima. Chao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Marguerite Casey Foundation, Change for Families by Families, and Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, the death of a young Iowa woman and breaking the myth of the criminal immigrant.
This is the father who just lost a child. He's saying, don't use my daughter as a pawn in your game.
That's next time on Latino USA.
Planet Money tip number 17. Sometimes the most important things need a hype squad.
Corporate.
Income.
Income.
Tax.
Corporate income tax!
Planet Money, a podcast about the economy. A very enthusiastic podcast about the economy.